know he came here to say, if you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The boys are back in town, ladies and gentlemen. The Browns players returning today for the start of their off-season workout program. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. The players are in, they're back, and it means that you've turned the page and it's time to get ready for another season of Cleveland Browns football. The draft less than 2 weeks away. The players are back now. And Matt, what was it always like when you come back on that first day of off-season workouts to get kind of back in, see the fellas again, get the camaraderie back, and just get ready to go for the season?
It's a lot of high fives, handshakes, a lot of laughing. Because certain portions of this locker room, I'm sure, stayed in touch for the last 2.5 months, and some of them have not. And it's that catching up, just as if you hadn't seen a great friend of yours in a while, or your brother or sister who lives in another state. When you're seeing them, it's a very jovial experience, and something that these guys hopefully had a great experience getting to know each other again. And phase one, as it's depicted by the NFL under the collective bargaining agreement, says that this is just it's weight training and conditioning, and also too for some of the guys who might have had an off-season surgery, a guy like Barkevious Mingo, they can get back into this facility and start doing some of the rehab under the team's care.
What do you think about, what kind of is the purpose of this, just to get everybody in here, and what are kind of the goals of this off-season workout program from a team and from a player standpoint?
It's kind of to get everybody back and get everybody back in the football frame of mind. I even had to go look it up myself, when I heard there were phases to this program. For us, it was, the old collective bargaining agreement allowed us to start this process much sooner. So we were back. I was back in San Diego, just to reference my time with the Chargers, like in the middle of March, and we were already rolling. We were at this point, 4 weeks into the offseason conditioning program. But I think that Roger Goodell and the advisors that he has below him have gone out and with the players and the NFLPA fighting for more time for these players for recovery, to be on their own, and the safety issues that the game of football has brought on many. They're trying to do everything they can to alleviate that. So this is a time for guys to get back in this building, to get back into Northeast Ohio, dive in. They're getting their playbooks. They might not be able to have constructive meetings or walkthroughs, but it's an opportunity for them to flip that switch out of, for many guys, what their offseason has been: fun, relaxing, beaches. For other guys, it's been, maybe full of workouts and waiting for this moment as if it can't come soon enough. And I think, very in a positive way, that's how Johnny Manziel has to feel. His stint in rehab has now come and gone, and everybody's looking to see what, they can grasp from Johnny Manziel. But if I'm Johnny Manziel, I'm Xing off my calendar. Not so much to get out of rehab because he's coming out a better person, but to get to this day, to get back into the camaraderie of the boys. And as I said last week, as we wrapped up our show on Friday, the two things I miss most about the NFL football game is I miss Sundays or game day, whether it's Sunday afternoons or Sunday nights, going out on that field and doing something I was, born and blessed with the ability to do at a high level. And then I don't miss the monotony of the workouts. I don't miss the monotony of practices or watching film. But I miss days like today where you get to reconnect with like 52 of your best friends, in all the world. Yeah, the boys, exactly. You're talking about, who did what, where'd you go, what'd you do, how much fun was it, did you win, did you lose, how's your golf game? All those things are the conversations that are happening in this locker room today.
So that's a lot of fun. Johnny Manziel back in the building, of course. He is here. We can tell you that. Everybody is back except for one guy. Tashawn Gibson, the restricted free agent Pro Bowl safety, has not yet signed his restricted free agent tender. He's got the second round tender on him. He has not gotten, to the knowledge of anybody yet, any offers from any other teams. So he's got until Friday to sign it. Not here for the first day of voluntary workouts. What do you think about that?
It's not a big deal. For those Browns fans, that might see a nationally syndicated article or broadcast talking about Tashawn Gibson not being here, it's no surprise. You know, when we started off-season workouts, again, in that middle of the March type of time frame, LaDainian Tomlinson wouldn't be there, and, you know, maybe Drew Brees wouldn't be there. Guys will meander their way back into town. But then the one thing that you have to also discount or take into account is, maybe not in Tashawn Gibson's case, but for any guy that has a workout bonus, you know, those at 80 must be at 80% of workouts to get $500,000,
Gibson's not technically under contract.
Right, right. And I'm just more so talking about guys in general. Guys will make sure they're back when they have to be to receive those bonuses. But for Gip, not being under contract, not a big deal. He will sign it eventually. He's not going to, you know, push beyond these 5 days. But also, too, for what we don't know, as Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, has kind of made his way, is not divulging too much information. So for all we know, Ray Farmer and the Cleveland Browns, along with Tashawn Gibson and his people, may in fact have an understanding that, Tashawn, we're going to work through these, the next 4 or 5 days, the best we can to get you under contract. And if you don't feel like you need to be here and sign that tender just to be here for a few workouts because you're taking care of business, that's totally fine. And it's actually reassuring that we don't know whether he's, you know, in negotiations or not, because that means things are being kept close to the vest.
I mean, yes. I would say, of course, they've got to be working on something. Yeah, I think that that's true. So you don't think that's a big deal? And
no.
Again, he's not going to be able to – he's under a contract in the sense that he's got the restrict. He's been tendered as a second rounder, and the Browns didn't tender him the first round. Nobody gets tendered a first round, single person in the NFL. That would have been $1 million more for the Browns. They're betting that nobody matches it because you'd have to pay him and give up a second round pick. And I don't think that's going to happen. The Browns always have an opportunity to make, you know, match any offer that goes to Tashawn Gibson.
Sure, and absolutely. And the one thing that we learned last offseason with Alex Mack is, you know, this process, once we offered the tenders, got rolling so much sooner. We got the offer from Jacksonville, and then, of course, we came back and matched the offer by the Jacksonville Jaguars to retain Alex Mack. And so this late into the ballgame, for Tashawn not have a deal or another team that he's being linked to besides the Cleveland Browns, is reassuring that a deal will get done or he will sign the tender. And when he does sign the tender, does not mean that the negotiations stop. Those can be ongoing.
Right.
And then the new contract will just supersede the second round tender and he would play under the new deal.
So he's not here, but everybody else back in the building. We're hoping to grab a player today for the show, perhaps Dante Whitner back. We are going to hear what the team has to say, you know, about players from being back. We're going to get some sound about what the team are saying about Johnny Manziel as well. We'll have Dan Shanka, the general manager, national scout for Our Lad Scouting Service, at 2 o'clock to talk the draft. They are one of the premier draft evaluation services in the league. Talk a little Tim Tebow. We can talk about the Cavs. The schedule release will be tomorrow at 8 p.m., so we can talk about that tomorrow. We'll go through the opponents for the Browns home and away, and then we'll play a little guessing. We'll say what our ideal schedule is and stuff, but we'll do that tomorrow. So today it's just about everybody being back in the building, getting the first workout here of the off-season program beginning today. The Browns are back in town. It was nice seeing the parking lot so full, no room for cars out there, so that was good to see. Also, we can talk Cavaliers. I thought a sluggish start, but then a very strong performance overall, taking care of the Celtics yesterday, and I thought they did so in very, very impressive fashion.
They definitely did, and I think LeBron played great. I know I turned it on at this just the start of the third quarter, so I missed the first half as I was just out enjoying a beautiful Sunday with the fam.
Nice.
But got home and started to do a little bit of cleaning up and spring cleaning.
You getting golfing over the weekend?
I did not, but we got the backyard all set up for some great barbecues and some good fun out there for the kids. But watching in the second half, I know LeBron was being much more of a facilitator. He got many of his points out early in the game. But what was frustrating for me at times, and I know LeBron will rise above and do whatever he has to do to bring a championship here back to Cleveland, but there were just multiple times where LeBron would just pound that ball, to 5 seconds left on the play clock,
yeah,
and then drive to the hoop and turn the ball over. And I just feel like, and I know San Antonio Spurs got beat last night, but a good defensive team that's going to be able to, take away one of the big three, whether it be LeBron, Love, or Kyrie, or two, to make them just work extremely hard, is going to give the Cavs fits, because LeBron, for whatever reason, just loves pounding that basketball.
He does. 5 turnovers yesterday, but still was solid. Actually, of the starters, he had the worst plus-minus of the whole game. Love had the best plus 15, 19 points, 12 boards in his playoff debut, despite being 5 of 14 for the floor. Kyrie, 30 points on the day, only 2 assists, but 30 points, 5 of 9 from deep. And I thought that the Celtics came out strong, and then they had that nice run. James Jones with a huge turnaround jumper to stop that 14-0 run, and then I thought the Cavs basically took it home from there. Strong game. Good to get their feet wet, and I thought they were looking pretty darn good for the rest of the playoffs. I don't think – you think sweep? That's what I was saying. It's 4 or 5 games.
I think it's 4 or 5 games max. After seeing yesterday, I thought in the third quarter, which is when I, of course, as I said, watched most of the game, then they ran that up to 20, and they made that look easy. And it was just, you know, a couple stops on the defensive end, fast break, 3, you know, and everybody facilitating. And I just love that, you know, Kyrie was, you know – fierce in his first playoff appearance. You know, Love came out slow and was, I think, you know, was like 2 of 9 or 2 of 7 initially, and then did everything he could. And what I love seeing out of Kevin Love was that we did our very best to get him the ball down in the post, which is where he was so good in Minnesota. Inside, offensive, defensive boards, and then get him the ball in the post. And it like, and it almost seemed like Kevin Love played with a mean streak. Like, he had something to prove. You know, he was going at the guys, you know, underneath the hoop, forcing the ball up. Kevin Love going to the free throw line. You know, that's very, very infrequent, as we've seen him all season long. So for him to be 8 of 8, I think, at the free throw line was impressive as well. So I think it's going to be a sweep. You know, they might get one in Boston, and that'd be simply because one of the big three is off, and the bench can't make up for that accumulation of points by the big three to be on.
I think they can, because you really didn't even get much from Mozgov or J.R. Smith in this game. J.R. Smith only played 19 minutes.
But the great thing about this is what's going to be awesome going into either the Bulls or Bucks series, whoever we have next, is I think Coach David Blatt is going to have the ability to rest a starter at certain points for a significant... None of these guys have to play 40-plus minutes against the Boston Celtics to win the series
in
5 games max. So you can have LeBron, Kyrie, Love, Smith, and all Mozgov playing 32 to 39 minutes, you know, and still winning by 10 points in pretty much every game, I believe.
I got to say this, too. I was pretty impressed by that Kelly Olynyk. I thought he was pretty solid for the Celtics.
Yeah.
He looks just like the kid who was the main character... to me, in Dazed and Confused. Looks just like Mitch Kramer.
Yes, he does.
He's like a big grown-up version of Mitch Kramer. Does anybody else think that? I mean, I watched that, and that's all I could think. Every shot was Mitch Kramer. I'm like, this is Mitch Kramer over and over and over again. This is giant Mitch Kramer. I thought it was unbelievable. And then Mitch Kramer would always reach up and grab his nose in Dazed and Confused. I thought that's what I was waiting for Kelly Olynyk to hit a 3 and then go ahead and grab his nose, a la Mitch Kramer. All right, we got a lot to get to. The players are back. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. We can talk the Cavaliers' big win yesterday. We can talk about the return of the OTAs, the off-season workout program. I'm sorry, let you know what that means as well when we continue here on Cleveland Brown Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Can you feel it? Now it's coming.